It's Sound Effect from KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. Let's listen in on some of the week's news.
In Northwest news from KPLU, the state is cracking down on handicapped parking abuse.
New documents about the Pasco police shooting in Southeast Washington were released this week by the Franklin County prosecutor.
Burgard is measuring the level of THC in the wastewater, the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana.
The important thing to sort out is we've got a $2 billion hole in the middle of a perfectly good budget that's going to have to get fixed.
The U.S. women are now the most dominant power in women's international soccer.
Iman calls his a Taxpayer Protection Act. The Paul Allen measure is described as protection of species threatened with extinction.
This is supposed to be the dog days of summer when news kind of takes a nap, but instead we've had this flurry of activity in Olympia with the big budget deal that averts the government shutdown, followed by the revelation that it's actually like $2 billion out of whack. Then there's a huge transportation package in the offing that's going to take a while to sort out, at least for me. And still, those big developments tend to suck the oxygen out of a whole bunch of less noticed stories. We're going to take some time now to talk about them. So here now to share their undercovered stories with us this week are Alex Hudson, who writes for the news and politics blog Seattle-ish. Josh Veit is editor and founder of Publicola and political editor at Seattle Met Magazine. And Joanne Silberner teaches journalism at the University of Washington. Hey, guys, welcome to Sound Effect.
Hi.
All right. So undercovered stories this week. Plenty of stuff that probably didn't rise to the level of the headlines as we still dig out from last week's big news and some pretty significant stories this week. But Alex Hudson, maybe we could start with you. What's one story this week that you think kind of went under the radar that it's time to raise the profile of?
Well, don't laugh when I say this, but it's the heat wave. And it may be the only thing that people are actually talking about, but I think what's important to keep in mind is it's more than just us being uncomfortable. There are like serious public health outcomes and issues related to these severe weather events, which we are seeing more and more frequently here in what used to be kind of a reliably extremely mild summers. So the thing that really comes to mind is, you know, the city of Seattle has extreme and severe weather plans and processes in place that relate to cold weather. But there are no real such plans in place that relate to hot weather. So folks who are especially vulnerable in our communities, so elderly folks, infants, and especially the homeless, don't have city-provided places where they can go for cooling stations as well as for basic services like water, sunscreen, just to rest in the shade. You know, many people who are homeless are sort of burdened by large bags, which they have to schlep around and obviously don't have the ability to kind of put away your winter gear and open up your summer gear, so oftentimes have large jackets and sweaters. And while the city, you know, put out a press release that said, here are some of the places where you can go that have air conditioning, and those include the libraries, community centers, senior centers, the pools, Seattle Center, there are big federal holidays that are coming, and all of those places are closed.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's that actually is no longer a resource. And I think that we really need to start thinking about, as a city, how we're going to continue to plan for what is largely expected to be more frequently and longer lasting severe heat occurrences.
Joanne Silberner?
Well, this touches on my underreported story, which is the health effects of climate change. And the UN this week put out a report saying, look, we're going to be having more heat waves and cities have to do something. And they were talking to us, they were talking to the world saying, here are the things, you know, you need to have detection methods on hand that people are having problems. You need to have answers, solutions, places to go, plenty of fluid, the hospitals on alert. There have been studies showing that mental illnesses are exacerbated by heat. The metabolism of some of the drugs that are used changes in the heat. There's so many things going on internationally that mimic our problem here or our issue here with homeless people. And then there are problems for other people as well. I was trying to think of underreported stories while sitting on my porch in Wallingford, slapping at mosquitoes. And I thought, wait a minute. This is Seattle. We don't have bugs.
Yeah, where the mosquitoes come from?
Yeah, we have bugs now. We definitely have, at least Wallingford has mosquitoes. I am covered with bites. Grant County had West Nile virus, which is a mosquito-borne virus that hasn't been around very much in Washington State. It really went through the East Coast and took care of most of the crows about 15 years ago. Looks like we're going to have that here. That's coming in. You know, the vector-borne diseases, the mosquito-borne diseases change as the mosquitoes move around a little bit. We've got to expect to see that here in Seattle. There's a lot that's going to go on with these heat events, with dramatic weather events. And I really think we need to be paying attention to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are serious. There's public health and public policy outcomes that need to happen. We need to get over this idea that Seattle is a mild weather climate.
All right. Well, thank you for that undercovered story, Alex. And we sort of backed into yours, too. Joanne, anything you want to add to that about the health effects of climate change? What made you sort of really think about that this week?
Well, two things. One was being bitten by mosquitoes. The other is my husband's a public health guy, and he was off in Washington, D.C. last week. In the middle of all the Supreme Court decisions, the president had a commission meet about the health, specifically about the health effects of climate change. No news coverage whatsoever. And I think the White House put a lot of effort into bringing people in, and I think they were hoping for a little bit of a bigger kick on that. It was a very ignored story. There's air pollution, there's malnutrition, diarrheal diseases that change as the climate changes because the things that cause these things, all these health effects, and we've really got to pay attention.
All right. Well, thanks for that. And Josh Veit of Publicola, what is your undercovered story?
Well, you know, it relates to what these guys are talking about, which is, I think, correctly politicizing this heat wave, which is obviously about climate change. And so, you know, that connects to the big story of the week for me first, you know, was the transportation package, and which leads to the underreported story, which is a debate that's about to come about sound transit. So let me backtrack a little bit. The transportation package, the reason I say that connects to climate change, is 93% of this thing that they passed is for roads capacity and roads building. I take it back. It's 94% to 6%. So it's 94%. 6% is for a multimodal transportation. And so this sort of exacerbates and alarms environmentalists who don't want to see us putting so much money into roads. What assuages environmentalists or makes them feel better about the package is this $15 billion investment or ability to tax ourselves and invest in sound transit. But the underreported thing that happened was a debate in front of the Sound Transit Board about planning for sound transit. And what you're seeing is a debate about either sort of transit-oriented development, so kind of green development along the transit lines, or just building the line right down the highway and not taking advantage of creating livable, walkable cities or neighborhoods and communities. So you kind of end up with what some people are calling transit-oriented sprawl.
Right, and the idea is that that's faster and cheaper, right?
Yeah, it is. It is a cheaper option. So that mini debate was happening last week while we were passing this larger package that's supposed to be greeted with cheers by environmentalists. And I think what you saw in front of the Sound Transit Board meeting when they were talking about how to get to Federal Way, how to expand the line to Federal Way, which is an initial leg of the expansion, and this debate between should it be built along I-5 or should it be built through the community closer to 99, is what we're going to see now is going to make or break the Sound Transit 3 as an environmental rejoinder to the problem of this 94% to 6% breakdown of roads to multimodal.
All right, an undercovered aspect of that Sound Transit 3 bit of the transportation bill. Well, thank you guys for helping us peel apart some of the underreported pieces of it, as well as the other undercovered stories of the week. Really appreciate your contributions, Joanne Silberner of the University of Washington, Alex Hudson of Seattle-ish, and Josh Veit of Publicola and Seattle Met Magazine. Thanks. Come back on Sound Effects sometime soon. Hey, guys.
Great. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We invite a crew of news watchers to join us on Sound Effect every week to talk over the undercovered stories. Subscribe to our podcast for the rest of the show or find it at kplusoundeffect.org.